Thank you, David.
Thanks.
Good morning, everyone.
So Jim Aldridge is going to proceed with public comment.
Well, thank you, Gwen, for inviting me to this meeting. I really appreciate it. I think most of you know that I was on the Charter Commission. Gwen was our chair. She did an awesome job at that. And that during the Charter Commission, and for now, I think it's entering my 6th year on this, I've been trying to get the wages of the first selectman addressed. And to manage your time, because I'm only allowed to speak, I'm going to stay for your whole meeting today, but I can only speak in public comment. We need 5 to 10 minutes. But the first thing I did is I have Tim White's report that you're going to be getting a copy of. Tim White's a very capable young man. I'm going to comment about his report, but I put in a similar format. I gave you a little summary overview.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm not going to read that just to manage time on this thing here. The next thing I want to jump into. So this summary is very important. And one thing I want to mention about this is during the charter work, this book was very influential for me. This is the Connecticut School Law. And I was given this book by the education people when I was chairman of the Board of Finance. And in there's one page where Pete Hess, he changed the rules so the selectmen could be on all the boards in Naugatuck. It's called Board of Burgesses, Board of Finance, Board of Education. Our Charter Commission created a finance committee that's similar like that, but we also changed the role of the first selectman to a 4-year job. I'm of the opinion the selectman's job is about 30 hours a week. The next thing I want to share with you is this is something I've been working on for years. And I'm going to give everybody a copy of this.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry. Okay, I don't care. I don't have enough. What? Do you have enough? Yeah. Okay.
Great, thank you.
What I've done is Connecticut is 169 towns, and there's some other special districts here. I took the middle of the pack, and I used my data per capita income. And I scrolled through, and this should be every town has a per capita income of basically under 50,000 and more than 36,000. I excluded the very low-end towns and the high-end towns. And what I've done in the middle section is I've researched first selectman pay, and every town's different. Some towns have a town administrative officer, some have an executive assistant, some have an operations director. And you want to know something? All these first selectman towns, they don't talk to each other. There's no communication. Like, if you get involved in the education community, the superintendents have their own organization, the principals have their own organization, and they're a very powerful organization. The selectmen, you got nobody, 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 okay? And so what's happened is I myself, and I had people from my office help me with this. How much does the first selectman make, and how much does the town administrative officer? It's not on their websites. Woodbury is an example. They got a phenomenal website that's there. So we ended up calling up these towns. And what's interesting is you call up the town, hi, I'd like to know how much, and we say, I'd like to know how much the first selectman makes and how much the executive administrative executive makes. Well, you have to have a freedom of information request. We can't give you that information on the phone. I said, well, that's very understandable. But then the person would say, why are you asking me this? I said, well, I live in Bolton, and we're trying to review the pay of our first selectman and of our town administrative officer to see if they're on parity with other communities. Well, how much do they make? Well, town administrator, I think Jim Rupert's around 104, 106,000. I said a little bit over 100,000. Okay, and the first selectman is a little bit under 17,000. And we got the same answer all the time. That's ridiculous. That's insane. She says, I'll give you all the information you want. It just changed the whole dialogue, okay? I couldn't believe how easy it was in every single town to get that information. In every town, the role of the first selectman and the administrative officer, it's different. Sometimes they give more to a financial person, but this is the best information that we have here. What you can see, and you go through this table here, and some towns, first selectman makes more than the administrative officer. Other towns, I excluded town manager towns. A town manager is a very system different system of government. Okay. I'm not supportive of the town manager system. It basically means the town manager is the CEO, not one of the people. Okay. At the core of our republic is of government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Okay. In your table here, what you're missing is I don't have any information for Columbia at the bottom here. And that just came to me at 7 o'clock this morning. And I wanted to share that with you.
Thank you.
Insurance. This is from their website here. Thank you. Okay. In Columbia, what's interesting is everybody got Columbia, right? Okay, I got something different going on. So the current first selectman is 24,000, and he has a pension of 2,000, gets you up to 26,000. Okay, the town administrative officer. Now, what's interesting is the town administrative officer in Columbia is a really good guy. He's the former first selectman of town, I think East Hampton. Okay, very capable guy. He makes 130, but they have another person in there, an executive administrative assistant who makes 75,000. Okay. So that's different. I don't, the other towns didn't have three, but you didn't have that data in your table. I wanted you to see this, okay? What you can see in looking at the data that I have is that our first selectman is way underpaid. I don't want to get into what much of what Tim has done. Tim's come up with very different type of review. He's got a much shorter table, much less data. You're going to have this in a few minutes. But in Tim's table, he included Andover. I would have excluded that because Andover doesn't have a high school. Andover doesn't have a tax base. We've got SYNDET. We've got Munson's. We've got Carlisle Johnson. We've got Abel Coyle. Georgina's is 4 to 5 times the size of Andover Pizza. Okay, so Andover I would exclude from the database. And the other thing is, he included Weston in his. I went online and looked it up. I did per capita income under 50,000. According to AI this morning, the per capita income in Weston, Connecticut is $122,823. So I don't, I just, it's really not a flip of it, all right? But in my report, I'm also telling you something else. I'm telling you why we need a first selectman to make more money. Our first selectman was very important in getting rid of or eliminating the dean of students position. This is a database. I usually share this with about several hundred people during the referendum process. I wanted you folks to have this here. Okay.
Thanks.
One of the biggest crises we have in our town is this. And if you look at this table here, I have it in percent at the bottom and in dollars at the top. Okay. The reality is our town budget's growing by something equivalent to inflation. You can see how much the selectman's budget's growing, the education budget, and you can look at debt service, property taxes. But this is the big problem, ECS, educational cost sharing. Educational cost sharing is one of the multiple things that state government is supposed to fund for the towns. They used to give town aid for roads, pilot programs, payment in lieu of taxes, but ECS was the big whopper, okay? And what you can see in 2008, the state gave us $3 million a year. Today, 2025, it's down to 2.6 million, okay? At the same time, we look at this state budget here, okay, which is down at the bottom there. The state budget has grown from 18 billion to 27 billion. That means if the state funded our town education system at the rate they grew their budget, we'd have over an extra $1.2 million a year. They've flatlined us, and it's not in the news. Recently, in the Journal Inquirer the other day, there was a fantastic article here about this crisis.
Thank you.
Okay. ECS formula doesn't account for inflation. I plan on joining this organization, and I would recommend, I think our town should contemplate it too. This is telling you that the state, and from this, the state's gone and expanded spending on all kinds of things, but our school system is in desperate need of more money, and somebody should raise a flag, and you cannot expect the superintendent and the Board of Ed to do this. Okay? The superintendent cannot go against the administration. That's pretty obvious. This is information from the referendum process from this past year. Okay?
I got it.
We listened to Jerome Powell, Fed Reserve Chairman, saying we've got to get inflation down to 2%. Okay. What this is showing you is that after six referendums, okay, we had a tax increase of 4.73%. Okay. This is a growing area of concern. And what I'm also saying to you in my narrative is that one of the problems we have is that our health care costs in this past budget grew by 6 to 10%, according to information that is public, okay? We can no longer keep writing contracts where automatically we allow for 6 to 10% growth in what the town pays for health insurance. You have to either get more affordable plans, but I'm not saying cut that down like many private sector would, cost less each year. We should let it grow. We have good people, but we can only grow their health care costs by, let's say, 50% more than inflation. So if inflation is 2%, the town can pay 3%, but you can't keep paying 10%. There's a health care crisis or something. Companies like my own, I no longer offer health care for my people. I can't afford it. This is going on everywhere, and it has to be a public-private partnership to address the health care crisis. I mentioned several other things in my report, but these are the main handouts I wanted to give. And so in conclusion, I've used up my 5 minutes here, but in conclusion, for 6 years, I've been advocating to raise the pay of the first selectman. I've worked with everybody. I've asked to speak at the Democratic Town Committee. I've asked to speak at the Republican Town Committee. For three administrations, I've talked to every single person on the Board of Selectmen. I got a buy-in from people. And I thought Sandy did an excellent job. Pam Sawyer did an excellent job. Bob Moore did an excellent job. Bob DiPietro, Mike Aramita, Adam Telleray reached out to. I was getting a buyout of everybody. Here's the thing. They wanted to go, and I wanted these kind of numbers, parity with this, 70, 80,000. I wanted health care. I wanted a pension. I wanted the whole thing. I got no support for that. But I got a buy-in from everybody for $36,000 to raise the pay from 17,000 to 36, no health care, anything. What I'm recommending to you today is it's been thoroughly vetted. It went through public hearing. I started to post things on Facebook, but I had to stop it. I had people coming after me. They were going crazy. Okay. I mean, it was no. Okay. But I've reached out to everybody I can. Okay. And how do you do something? You're trying to put a budget together for next year. I would recommend you go with 36,000. And if you seriously want to have a conversation about this, after you get through that, I'm willing to give you enormous amounts of time. I'm willing to go to Zoom meetings, or if you want to, you know, you may want to say, you know what, I want to talk to Summers, and I want to talk to Old Lyme, and I want to talk to this town. I know where all these towns are too. I'm more than happy to set up a Zoom meeting so nobody has to suck up a lot of time. I'll take notes. I'll send them to you. You can edit them if you think that they're fair. But we can talk to all kinds of towns, similar size. And here's the most important part. But you've told me,
yeah,
Jim Rupert's been a great partner.
Yeah.
I am not saying to diminish Jim Rupert's job or time as trader, but you got to have a plan for continuity of key leadership. Jim Rupert's contract, it's critical that when you elect a new selectman and let's say it's a Democrat instead of you, you want to know Jim Rupert's going to be here for at least 1 year. That first year is really training for the first selectman. You want to have overlapping terms, okay? And if Jim Rupert leaves, you want to know that he's going to leave in your third or fourth year so you can bring in a new town administrator.
Right.
Okay, it's just good governance, okay? And we don't have a backup for Jim Rupert, okay? And think about the first selectman's job. It's not right to say it's under 30 hours a week, okay? When Manchester wanted to put a solar field within 500 feet of Bolton, somebody had to go represent the town of Bolton in Manchester. That was you. Okay. We had a phenomenal janitor at the high school, Malin Clark. Okay. I went to fire school with him in 2007. Unbelievable guy, active in the fire department. He passed away. All of us from the fire department went to the guy's funeral service. You didn't know him at all. You came and stayed for 2 hours. Okay. You march in the parade. You have to give speeches. You have these coffee things that you do. Okay. And the time for the first selectman is not boots in this meeting. It's leaving his job, coming here for half an hour, going on a Saturday, getting dressed up, leaving your family. And many people will take the selectman's job, but they're not going to give us 30 hours. They're going to try to do it in 10 or 15. And I think my biggest obstacle to getting the pay raised, okay, is people like Pam Sawyer, Bob Mora, Sandy Pierog. They did it for years for no money and they never complained. Okay. Now it's time for a young generation to fill those shoes and do it. And I don't think they just didn't want to do it. Okay. But it's different. I've been recruiting candidates for both parties for 30 years. Okay. And when I go recruiting, I don't want activists and advocates. I want people that are going to be administrators. Okay. And sometimes I find out, and I'll tell you, here's the best person I ever recruited, Arliss Bob. Okay, maybe I should have mentioned her name. I got her, she was an unaffiliated voter. She didn't want to switch parties. She didn't care if she ran as a Republican or a Democrat. And I was from the Republican Party. She said, okay, I'll go, but I just don't want to change my party affiliation. She ended up becoming vice chair. She had a law degree. She had enormous common sense. She was fantastic, and she was a calm, neutral person. I'm trying to recruit people that I have management experience, are willing to work hard work, and our charter intentionally does not give the first selectman hardly any powers. Okay. What you have, hard work, okay, a lot of time, hours,
Yeah.
and you have to get along with everybody. Okay. And I think there's people in the Democrat Party who would do as well. And you know what's awesome? We had a super majority of Republicans a couple of years ago. Now we got a super majority of Democrats on boards. That's a good thing. Okay. But we need continuity in government and we've got to do something. Right now, if you don't want to run for re-election, I don't have a single person that wants to run and be first selectman. $35,000 or $36,000 isn't going to change that significantly, but it's a step in the right direction. That ends my show.
Great. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Mayor.
I'm going to start off with a couple of questions and then I'm going to open it up to questions. First, on the chart that you prepared, this one.
Yep.
Could you tell us which ones you think are the most comparable? Like which towns should we be focusing in on to say, oh yeah, look, that's a pretty similar situation
So
to what's
just so
Bolton?
you know, I took pictures of these and sent it to Bryce,
Oh, excellent.
David, and Bob.
Thank you.
So I don't know if they got them or not, but I'm assuming they have.
Okay.
So I don't know the answer to that one.
Okay.
So here's the thing. Is per capita income the right variable? Is population the right variable? Does each one of these towns have a volunteer fire department? In general, I did try to get at towns that had a high school. Okay.
Okay.
But it's going to be an education process and it's going to be time consuming. If you were serious about doing something more than $36,000, which I think it's too short a time to do, I think we should appoint a group to get you good answers to those things.
Okay, so the you created this per capita income towns with less than $50,000 per capita income. Is that what this chart is?
That's how I
Wait.
began my analysis. And
Yeah,
I
okay.
started this chart in 2023.
Yep, okay.
I thought that what are the basic variables?
Yeah, it's hard to know. I mean, there really are a lot of variables. Like Tim White's information started off. We asked him just to do towns with similar form of government. And there are only nine that we match up exactly with Bolton. So we thought that's way too small of a sample. So then part two was, could you look at all towns with under 7,500 people? So that's, and then he also went, he worked in per capita. So there, I know there are a lot of different ways of looking at the data.
So here's a good example. I know Andover quite well. We all do. It's right next door, okay? Robert Burbank was the first selectman from 2006 to 2018. Jeff McGuire is 2019 to 2026. Both those guys, they're not doing it for the money. I think I think he makes $1,200, okay? They don't have the same infrastructure. They don't have the same taxation base, okay? So for them, it's very hard to raise. That's why I could, and they don't, they have a regional high school, RAM, okay? They do have a great fire department, okay? So for me, that's an outlier. I would take them off the list.
So how did you come up with your $36,000 recommendation?
Because Sandy, Adam Teller, Bob Mora, in private, when I talk to people, they say $70,000, $80,000. I'm not going to go for that. They said, I do think the job takes more time. There was a consensus building behind the scenes that that was the number they came up with.
They came up with
I
eight.
didn't come up with
You
it.
didn't pull it off of your chart, like an
So,
average or anything.
no, if I had this much data and I wanted, Tim did an analysis, but I don't like how he chose his towns. And he put emphasis on the fact that we have a town meeting form of government. That's irrelevant to me.
I think this committee also came up with that number
We came up
at
with a
one time.
range.
I think you were right,
I think
there.
it was like 30,
Up to 40,
30.
between 30, 30 and 40. Yeah, so I remember as well.
And my other question is, this is purely just an opinion, and I'm going to want everybody else's opinion on this too. How do you think the fact that we had six referenda last year affects your thinking about putting 36,000 or something like that?
We have it in this year's budget. It's already in the budget,
How
ready
much,
to be
really?
distributed
How much
for
is,
this year.
yeah.
Well, I think it was the extra 15,000 because the 16 is already, the 17 is already there. We added
For the
for the
budget year that we're
difference.
in, correct, in right
Correct.
now?
Because if you passed this earlier, it would have been effective, so we would have had the money. So it's already there.
So,
It's not.
one comment I want to add. Through my efforts, I had hoped the Sawyer administration was good. I thought it was all in place to get it done. Okay. I have Amanda Gordon and Rod Fournier. They know everything about what I'm doing. For both of them, they do not want to weigh in on this issue at all. Okay. They're not doing the job for the money. Okay. And I said, that's very understandable. They shouldn't do it. So we've got a board of selectmen trying to increase the wage for the first selectman, and the first selectman doesn't want to vote on it. Okay.
Well, he shouldn't.
Okay.
Yeah,
Yeah,
it's not just a
it's
preference. It's I
okay.
don't think he should.
So I would have preferred this much more to be in the charter, to some kind of base salary. And we talked about this six or seven meetings. It went nowhere. And I've also asked my fellow members of the Charter Commission, okay, we're through. It's a 4-year term for the first selectman. We know how much time's involved. Who's going to help me push this through? Everybody's politely declined to help me in that endeavor.
So, Rodney, let me get this straight. So for the budget year ending June 30th, 2026, there's how much is in the budget for the first selectman salary?
I think we carried 20.
Okay.
We put an extra 20 in the
20,
budget.
20 total, because
Well, the original 17 is there,
yep.
and we added 20.
Extra 20.
Extra 20. So we're talking 37.
Right.
There's 37 in the budget that was passed.
Pretty sure.
It
Right.
was in the budget that was already passed.
Pretty sure it was right around this. Correct.
Okay. So then that.
And the big question is, what do we do with this new budget? That's where it's going to come into
Okay.
play soon.
Yeah. Okay. I had not realized that. So really, we're talking about a currently approved first selectman salary of 37,000.
We carried it in
No,
our budget.
I don't think we approved it,
No, it
or
wasn't
nobody
approved.
approved it. It was more like we just carried the money in case we approved it, in case this meeting happened earlier and or it's happening
Then
now.
there's the question, is it retroactive from July?
All right,
That's a
I guess.
different
Yeah, I'm.
kind
I
of thing.
have to get this in my head. I guess what did the residents approve as part of the budget ending June 30th for a first selectman salary?
It wasn't listed as a first selectman salary. It's a line item on a budget, and we carried the 20,000.
Okay, so we carried that, like, some in some separate fund,
I don't
or
remember what line item it was, and it wasn't. It's not really a separate one.
Okay, so if
might
somebody
be in the administrative salaries or something.
I'll look up.
Wherever
I'll look it up
other.
Now, Gwen. I have a computer in front of me.
Okay, thanks. So if somebody asked you right now how much you're making, you would say 17,000. You wouldn't
say
wouldn't say 37,000.
No, has been approved.
Okay, all right.
No.
That I needed to get that straight in my head.
We just carry the money because if this meeting happened back in August, then we would have been paying it out and we wouldn't have had it. So we put it in the budget.
Okay, I think I got it now.
So that it was there. So in other words, if there is no increase come July, that 20,000 is, I don't know what'll happen. But...
Okay, all right. Thank you for clearing that up. All right. You two have any questions or comments?
David, did you say that you had it open and you confirmed that that's the case?
Yeah, I'm looking through the budget from last year to see if I can find it.
Yeah, it's not easy to find. I was actually surprised you found it so fast.
I think
all right. And if I can just jump in with a question then too, while David tries to dig it out too.
Yeah,
but I want to preface with Mr. Aldrich, Bryce Aronson, I don't think we've met yet. I'm a new board of selectmen or member of the selectmen. So thank you for your I'll say advocacy this morning. But one of the questions that I had too is that when I designate, you know, compensation at work, I'm looking at the roles and responsibilities of an individual that are explicitly written down, and then I'm able to benchmark those against somebody else to say, you know, to basically assign a value base for that role and responsibility. I don't think we have that for, you know, any of our elected positions or the first selectman either. And I think that's one of those things that would be critical, in my opinion, to designate, you know, how do we get to that $36,000? What are those minimum expectations of that role? You know, is it X amount of coffee and conversations? Is it X amount of, you know, public events, parades, speeches, whatever, or, you know, attending X amount of meetings so that we are able to, you know, be very clear in that we have defined this compensation rate off expectations. You know, I think also when we do this in a workplace, we're looking at the qualifications of an individual too, which I don't think you can do for an elected position. So I you know, I'll say, typically I would say, you know, that would be ideal. In this case, we cannot do that, but at least I think to some degree, what is the job description of a first selectman is something that we should consider.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do you want me to answer it? Just be quiet.
No, I guess at this point, I'd rather have the committee start to just have more of a role in the discussion.
Makes sense. Yeah, that's an interesting point that Bryce just brought up by, you know, and I found that too, just serving on these boards, that there's not a lot of written, you know, as the town of Bolton as an entity, you know, doesn't have a lot of those kinds of upfront, you know, job description kind of, you know, formwork for a lot of these roles and things, which is, you know, case in point, makes it a little bit hard to, you know, well, what is Rodney supposed to, you know, what boxes is he checking off every week or every month or, you know, whatever. At the same time, though, if you just do a simple calculation of the hours spent, given a salary even of $37,000, it's like $23 an hour. You know, it's kind of, I personally feel that, you know, the current salary is woefully low. I think it just hasn't kept up with times. And I think we should, you know, definitely have an increase of a meaningful amount that then perhaps in later years can be discussed further, tweaked, put in the chart, you know, whatever a more appropriate mechanism could be in the future to make it more tied to something, a job description, a percentage, a year, you know, whatever that mechanism is. I think it's just been sort of lost in the dust of like so many other things that just then all of a sudden 10 years later you pop your head up above water and you're like, oh, this is way out of whack, you know, and now we're in the position we're in now.
So that's just my kind of overall feeling about it. And I appreciate all the research that Jim's done
Yeah.
into this. I know it's a ton of work and hours, and it's very well thought out and concise and practical. So thank you, Jim. I appreciate it.
And Mather, what's your opinion about how this would look to residents having gone through six budget referenda last year?
I've been thinking about that too. That's something to definitely think about, but my feeling is I think it's just something you have to just rip the band-aid off and just do what we were elected to do what we feel is right, having more of an inside opinion, having more knowledge about what we're doing, and I'd be comfortable in just doing what I think is right, and that's what we're here for.
I would agree, and I think an important perspective or an interesting perspective with regard to the referendums is, I would say the majority of people don't really have a very good understanding of what's actually in the budget or the process that we all go through in order to create that budget. So I don't think most people, they're just mad about inflation and everything in their life. And I understand that. I get it. But the reality is, it's partially on us for lack of communication. I think we've talked about that on this board. Bryce brought it up at one of the first meetings, and we've made some efforts internally, at least. And the coffee and conversations is a good example of actively trying to invite people to learn more about this. And so we'll be prepared to talk about that line item if somebody's interested in that, in understanding why we made that choice. So I would be supportive of that change in line with what Adam Clark had said.
And sorry, not to
Go
jump on
discussion.
You, but $20,000 in the grand scheme of the budget, people want to get all upset about that. I'm perfectly capable and willing to defend my position on that versus, a myriad of other things that people, that are less consequential. And, I think we just need to just act and get it done and move on. There's always a something. It 6 months from now, a month from now, it's gonna be another thing. It's, we just need to
Yeah,
keep
so
moving and make decisions and move on.
there's a lot of nebulous kind of concepts associated with this job. It's not very well defined, but most CEO jobs are not, right? And so from the most basic standpoint, which is kind of where I'm coming from, I just was doing the math like Mather with regard to the dollars per hour,
Yeah.
and if it's and a lot of these things are not when you want to go. You might want to. This event is happening, and man, I really don't want to go to that, but it's my obligation, and it's after hours. It's not 9 to 5. It's just an ex qualitative example of the burden that the job does have. So I just revert back to the most basic level. The dollar per hour, should be probably closer to 30 to 40, I'm guessing, but I don't really have a benchmark for that. So, but I know that 17 divided by 30 hours per week is pretty low.
If you do 30 hours a week times 52, divide that, just do
Into
37.
17. What is it?
No, 30, I did $37. Even at $37, I'm sorry, 37,000,
Oh,
$23 an hour at 30
23
hours a
bucks an
week.
hour.
And then, I look real quick here at, the items and, the towns in yellow and the first selectman, the towns have a first selectman and a town administrator that Jim, very nicely laid out here. The ones in green, you really see a pretty definitive correlation. Some of the first selectmen make more than the town administrator, and some are the other way. But there, you could really see a pattern that we are drastically, diverged from. And I understand too, Tim's research, there's different ways, and you mentioned this too, Gwen, in the beginning. There's a lot of different ways, all these towns are so different. Like, okay, how do you distill this down? and give a fair comparison as to what Bolton is compared to these other towns. But I think Jim did a good job at, you know, identifying, you know, high school, yes or no, you know, those kinds of, you know, roles of a first selectman, what he has, you know, going on in his town, his or her town. I think, you know, I'm totally comfortable with what we've talked about at a minimum.
So you want my 2 cents?
Not yet.
Okay.
I'm gonna ask David and Bryce for their 2 cents. And did you say Bob DePietro's on too?
No, but
oh,
I just sent him the stuff anyways.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay, yeah. Good. So Bryce, would you like to weigh in on this conversation?
I'm kind of still thinking through things because I think there's a lot of things to consider that I do agree at the base level that the difference in our town budget between $17,000 and $36,000 is not a significant difference. What I'm still, I guess, that I feel like there's been a lot of good, like, or a lot of metrics presented from both Jim's data set that Rodney sent around and what was put together by Tim. But none of those, in my opinion, kind of tie it all together and present like a compelling why should the salary increase? How are we benchmarking ourselves against other towns? Like, I feel like there's a lot there, and that I feel like the data sets could be combined in a couple of ways. Cause one of the things that is compelling is the town budget amount that was in Tim's data set, but Jim doesn't have it in his. And I think that kind of ties it all together too, on what is, you know, either, and it's the town budget with BOE and without the BOE too, because if you don't have a BOE, I think that, you know, I don't know. So I'm still kind of wrapping my head around all of the data. And then two, if we were to make a decision one way or the other, I would just want that data and some degree of a job description to go along with it that, you know, I think, and I don't know if it can be done outside of a charter too, if any type of job description for our first selectman would have to be a component of a charter too.
It would not.
Okay.
But all right. Thank you, Bryce. And David, how about you? Would you weigh in on this?
Yeah, I can. I will note that I'm not a member, technical member of the subcommittee, though. I'm sure we'll talk about this as a board at large later anyway. I think I would like to track down and figure out where exactly the town approved this in the first place, just looking also through the minutes from the meeting. I believe it was last April that I'm looking at, where it was a town public hearing about the board of select or the first selectman salary increase. And there's some information in there that the potential placeholder could have been as large as a total salary of $50,000. So we need to figure out what the town approved first and figure out, you know, what number we're landing on here. And, you know, I'm not sure that I would say, you know, hey, up to $50,000 would be, you know, where I would go. But, you know, just thinking about the amount of work that goes in versus the current salary, I think it's somewhere in the middle.
So the history is that in April, there was a public hearing, and the public felt that there was not enough. We had cited some of Tim White's information, but hadn't given copies to the public, and the public felt like, well, we want to see that information. So that was after that public hearing. Oh, and also before that, this subcommittee had made a recommendation to the board to increase the salary from between 30 to 50,000. Then the public hearing was held. We felt that there was not enough, based on public input, not enough data was given to the public, that we needed to hold another public hearing. And then I think what happened is that we just started having our budget referenda, and then the issue got dropped. And then it came up again a few weeks ago with Jim Rupert saying, if you're going to do something about this, it's budget season. So we've got to get going on it again. So there was never, but Rodney pointed out that there was money put into the budget, that $20,000, and I'm not exactly sure when that happened. It must have been at the end of last year, or
if you look through all the budget notes, it's everywhere in there.
Okay.
It was even a, I think it was one of the big increases in the town's budget, and it listed the salary, the first selectman's salary is included in here. It's
because I do remember doing it. I just can't, I can't remember the timetable of that, right. So I'll have to look back.
Before the budget was approved, right? But when we were putting the budget together, all the budget documents, commentaries, who did the I think Tim might have done a budget thing with a commentary on it.
Okay, so that would have been last, it would have been last spring then?
Yeah.
Moving into, okay.
Yeah.
So I, yeah, we should all look that up. We could look that up.
So we never approved anything. The committee did, right?
Well, we made the recommendation.
So David was saying, using the term approved, which you never approved anything.
Well, no, the town approved the budget with whatever that placeholder value you're saying is.
Thank you.
Yes.
So that was the where approved is coming in.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. But that was not a Board of Selectmen action on specifically on that salary. So, David, did you have any other comments?
No, I would like to find where that number is, because it's not abundantly clear to me looking through minutes and other budget documents. So that's what I'm trying to hunt down at the moment.
There's a lot of complaints.
Yeah. Huh. It must be early 2025. So you said you'd like to have some comments too.
Let's see. From a taxpayer's perspective, I can understand where you would debate about it, because you don't know who you're electing, you don't know what you're going to get, and there's when you're running for office, there's no pre-qualifications, so you could just get somebody who's going to run, come in and do the minimal, which is sign a couple documents here and there and be a chairman. And how do you compensate somebody who's going to do that versus somebody who's going to go way out of their way and actually perform as the face of the town and get involved? I get roped in to be the secretary for CROG. So now I have to attend all their meetings and sign the resolutions and so forth and so on. But they asked me to get involved because they wanted small town representation. So we have small town representation in CROG, which is very, they're very active, and we have a lot of stuff going on with them. So you really want to stay knit in with them. So, you know, the cost thing, I have to go to a cost thing next week or this week, I don't remember. There's a legislative breakfast next week. You know, do you go to it or don't you go? You know, there's probably 7-8 senators, representatives show up there, and you just chat with them. So, you know, I get to go sit now that I see they're trying to push to get the match money in the budget again for the water. I'll go sit down with the Manchester and chat with them and get that moving along. So, you know, there's constantly irons in the fire. And do I need to go talk to Manchester, or could I just sit back and say, you know, it's not, no.
Yeah.
It is part of your duty, but, you know, I would do it. Will XYZ do it? Whoever it is you. So, you know, I don't know how I would qualify this position. I, you know, the town's got 50 workers. They're great people, and they're all happy, and they just love when you just come in and chat with them for a few minutes and be on your way. Some people don't have the time to do that. I try to do it, you know, once a week, twice a week or something. Just so you know, there's just so much to it. And of course the meetings are endless this time of year. So so I don't know how I would qualify that to try to draw a picture of what the job consists of, or do you have a base and then just kind of if you know.
Do you have an estimate of how many hours you think you're putting in per week?
But it's up near 30 on average. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, some weeks you get away pretty cheap, others you don't.
Yeah.
Then of course it's It's pretty perpetual. I mean, if you want to look at my emails, you're welcome to. I mean, that's you could do that for an hour and a half a day, just sort through those. There's a fortunately, Kathy, Jim, and Sue usually have everything under control. Well, they do, right? But I mean, I still get the emails, and you got to sift through and make sure everything's getting done on time because ultimately, I'm the responsible one, and that's where the other problem comes in. If Jim decided to quit tomorrow, I'm it. So anything could happen there. What's that worth? Do you get compensated for that? The gamble you're taking? Who knows? So it's not just to just find somebody who's going to want to do the job because they want the $36,000 or whatever. That's great. How do you qualify them? And it doesn't matter how you qualify them because it's about what the voters think of them and what, not that they know them either. But so, anyways, it's kind of, I'm going to leave you with that question mark, I guess.
I
I don't
thought,
have any confirmed results of anything. I just know what I can do and what I want to do, but I don't know what anybody else would do. So,
Go ahead.
I have an abstract thought,
Okay.
which it's not an opinion, it's just a thought.
Okay.
Sometimes we would like to do even more in town. For instance, I know that there's been comments where we don't want to go for every grant in the world because we don't have the resources to manage the process of applying and then accounting for the process, whatever the requirements are as you go through. What if you had a full-time, would it be worth talking about as part of this? Maybe not right now, but in the bigger picture, Gwen, what if we have someone at 100,000 and that's their only job? Would that then be two gyms so we could actually get a hell of a lot more done in town? Do we need to get more done in town or are we in a good spot? Just a thought. Again, not my opinion.
One of the
I
meetings I
think.
sat in on this summer as a guest at the time, someone had brought up, hey, we could get a grant writer. And I remember that being a conversation. So Tim, that sounds aligned with that conversation of, getting someone who is a dedicated grant writer might be a good option for being
It's
able
tough.
to track down some of these funding avenues.
I'm 100% on board for that. The question and the question seems to be manage like does that grant writer carry it through, executing it? Because currently I believe Jim is in charge of doing that stuff. So it would I think it would have to be a grant writer that could, you know what I mean, manage the project after they get the grant. Writing the grant is one thing, but actually getting the project done falls onto the town.
So,
But I agree with you, David. I would love to get more grants.
we talked about possibly sharing that too with another town.
right. I
Okay.
think it's kind of irresponsible until we get more tax base because we have to shell out that money up to the point where we can get it
The match.
from the match and the actual project. You don't get the money just because you started it. They don't say, oh, here's the money. So you could be out there for millions. So it could be an imbalance
Could be.
in the financial side of things. And how much money do you want to spend on recreation in the town?
Well, it's not necessarily recreation, but
Well,
I see your
whatever it
point.
is. Yeah.
But
I mean,
I'm thinking more like if you build it, they will come. And or in other words, the water line, all that stuff that
right.
is.
Well, that's a gamble too. I mean, we don't know what the future holds for anything. So, but the school roof bonding, that's going to chew us up for years as far as financial. And you start spending too much money on grants that you get a match and put the money ahead. I don't think it's a good idea, but that's my take.
And then maintain it and those projects
Okay.
ongoing in the future too.
Yeah.
The more infrastructure you build and build and build and build, 20 years from now, you're still.
Maintaining. We get a lot of bonds and grants and everything else coming in. I think we're doing as good as you're going to want to for
I'm
Bolton.
going to add a different twist to the question.
There you go.
Are there gaps in, is there more scope Is Jim's cup flowing over? Is there more than he can handle and you can handle as a part-time person, where a full-time first selectman would be beneficial or not?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Yeah.
You know, right now he got that bond dumped on him for the playground. So I mean, all of a sudden that's a whole new 2 weeks worth of work for him that he's got to try to
Yep.
do. So he's trying to work on the budgets and everything else, and boom, take care of this. It's so at this point, he's overdone. That's why other projects don't move forward as fast as they could. But
That's the point. That's one of the points that kind of brought that about is,
yeah,
the projects are not getting,
sometimes it might just be too much of a load.
And maybe that could be handled in a different way too, instead of adding more time to the first selectman salary.
So if you did that, you'd be looking for a full-time person, and that would cost double, triple, whatever.
Correct.
You'd have to
Right.
hire the benefits, and you're gonna be hiring out of town people to do it. It wouldn't be somebody with local interest. They could, but the odds are slim. Once you go out to hire for a position, you can't just say you have to live in Bolton. And they wouldn't be elected either.
Are you talking about like a town manager position?
Or
I was thinking that again,
more of
the
a
thought
grant.
was more like just still an elected first selectman, but with more defined responsibilities, and that's their only job. Like they don't have another
I
job.
see. So you just eliminated most people. Right?
Right,
Bob,
because they would
want to
have to
work
be
for a
in
living. You're not
town.
going to just
Right.
quit your job to do that. So.
You're right.
But yes, I do like the thought,
Good
but
point. Good
just
point. It would be more of a town manager, right?
So it sounds like
Just for Derek.
you are a future Charter Revision Commission member. So that could be your issue. And actually, I mean, that's probably coming up in, as in, are we supposed to do the revision that we're supposed to have a review of it every 5 years to decide whether there should be a revision? It must be coming up soon.
Right.
Different issue though. So I mean,
Yes.
somebody should check into that. I can look into the timing of that. But I think it's because we started, it was COVID when we were doing that work. So we might be on that timetable. I do think though that we as a committee had told the public back in April that we were going to hold another public hearing so that they had the benefit of more of this kind of data.
Is it a public hearing, a public meeting, or just a public session, an informative session?
I think it should be a public hearing. Allow more public comment,
But
and
not a public vote.
no, that no, I wouldn't agree to that. I think there was a comment. It might have been yours, Jim Aldridge, possibly that, or somebody. No, it was another member of the public back in April said felt that they sh that the members of the public should vote on a salary increase. I don't support that. I think that that should be a board of selectmen decision. But I do think another public hearing would say, look, everybody come voice your opinion on this. It would get people involved. It would give them their chance to hear the data, hear our opinions. And then we could, so I think we could do that fairly quickly and fit it into our budget cycle. And then the rec after the public hearing, then there would be a
Go to the Board of Selectmen for a
then it would
vote.
go to the Board of Selectmen for a vote. And I also, so another thing I want to do is just what David was saying is I want to find out exactly how that conversation went about adding that 20,000. I totally agree that we did it. It's just that I don't remember the thought process. So I think we should all refresh ourselves, our memories.
I think there may be an advantage to keeping this going rather than putting by gaps of time. Like we're struggling to remember what we talked about.
Yes.
You
Oh, I
know?
totally
And
agree.
it's like we went through all this stuff we just talked about like before.
Yeah,
And
it was
like,
February.
yeah, a bunch of times.
It was February when we had that meeting over at Herrick Park. Remember that? And
Yep.
the recommendation came out
Yeah,
of
we got a
there.
lot out of that meeting. That
Yes.
was a
And but I
productive meeting.
agree we moved this along. So I would I I favor setting up a public hearing,
Yep.
and then after that, having a discussion by the Board of Selectmen. So, how do people feel about that?
I think that's a
And
good idea.
so just want to clarify based on Rodney's comment and your comment just there, Gwen. The first one was a public information session, and there was a actually, you made a statement at the end that we should do another session with a transparent notice outlining clear details on the meeting posted to the website, along with wage comparison data for reference. So I
Great.
agree that doing another one would be helpful. I would try to keep the same forum that you did the last time.
And that was the April 22nd one of
That's correct.
2025. Okay. Yes.
I just think the information that you posted can't just be Tim's. You
Yeah.
got to kind of have the, I mean, the whole reason this even started was because of Jim, and to just put
Right.
Tim's stuff out there is very
No, I think we
unfair.
have to figure out what Jim, would you have Jim Aldrich, would you have any issue with some or all of this chart being sent publicly?
You can have everything.
And publicly.
Yeah,
Okay.
with the narrative, of course.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I think this
Okay.
is very, felt out.
Okay, good. Thank you for
I
that.
just looked at Tim's, and it's just a kind of a perspective, and there's no reasoning behind it. So the whole thing started because of the reasoning behind it, trying to recruit more people and make it worth something. So.
And I think this is more, in my mind, from my analytical brain, this is more concise to me. Like, this is more accurate, meaningful, I don't know what the right word is, but
Impactful.
than Tim's.
Yeah.
It's more relevant both, to what we're trying to decide, in my mind.
And so, Jim, what was the difference between the yellow and the green?
These are all my working notes.
So yeah, so why are some yellow, some green? That is that something that we
I was planning on coming to the Board of Selectmen now that the new boards, once you got established, to and my continued effort to get something done on the pay, okay? But I only had notice, I think you sent me your email when
Friday
Friday.
to yeah.
So I had from Friday to today to get ready. And I didn't, and I also put other things together. If you're going to send it out, I would get rid of the colors
Okay,
and the.
that was the reason I
And
asked.
the other thing is, I don't know what my time's going to be, but I'd like to find out, do these guys get health care? Do they get a pension? I'll have to call back to
Yeah,
see.
I know that our committee last February felt pretty strongly that we should not include health care or any other
That's okay.
benefits.
I've given you data, but I just didn't know if you want more data or not.
Well, if it does, the point is if they are including it plus this, then that would be relevant. Because we are not going to include that. As
Yes.
we feel pretty strongly about that, all of us, I think,
Yes.
because of the expanding costs for
Right.
all the other employees, and it's a temporary position.
So here, I'm just telling you, maybe I should not expand it anymore. In other words,
No, I agree. Not to, but if you could take off, I asked you about the yellow and the green because some member of the public's are going to ask me, and
I'll clean the table.
you'll take it up. Okay. And then would you send that to me electronically?
Yeah, sure.
And then, great.
Do you want everything I presented today?
But if they do include, if these towns do include healthcare and stuff, would it be helpful to know that they do?
It would.
Because that would be more value to those positions compared to ours.
Do you have it broken down that way?
And none of this stuff's on most towns' websites. You have to call in.
Right.
And the piece of magic that happened was when I called in, we told them what we're paying in Bolton. Everybody wanted to share information. I don't know if I want to be calling everybody up, and I'm getting
No,
all this stuff.
no.
I wasn't suggesting that you do that work.
No. Just.
I think the hill to climb is $36,000. If that gets passed, and then later on, if you want to get it on parity with these other people, that's a different topic.
Okay. Good. David and Bryce, do you have any closing comments?
I think we need to come prepared to that public information session with also where the line item is in the budget. that was the contingency fund or whatever we're calling it for potentially approving this within the last however many months.
Yeah. Yes, I will track that down. I'll probably need Jim Rupert's help on that. I'm sure I'll get it.
Yeah, I think so Jim would definitely be helpful with that.
And does everybody agree that the next step is to have a public hearing on this?
Yes.
Okay. So I will get in touch with Jim and ask him to schedule a public hearing. Maybe it can be done on a day that we have another meeting anyway, so that we don't have to add another night out.
Plenty of those.
So, yeah, but I do want to get this scheduled. I know there's got to be when you do a public hearing, there's got to be a certain number of days prior to the notice has to go out a certain number of days prior to the actual hearing. And I don't know what that is. So it's not like we can do it tomorrow or the day before or day after tomorrow.
I will not be here February 3rd, which is our next regular meeting.
Okay.
I will not be either.
Oh, okay. All right. That's good to know.
Was there an ice skating event somewhere?
It was a snowmobiling event somewhere.
All right. But that's good to know. All right. If there is nothing else to come before the committee, Jim, thank you very much. I really appreciate your comments and all of your supporting information. I appreciate that. Thank you, committee members, and Rodney, Bryce, David, for your opinions also. And look for some emails from the town, Kathy or Jim, about timing on the public hearing. All right. So I'm going to call this. I'm going to. I don't know if we need a motion to adjourn. Is it actually? Yeah. Why doesn't somebody just give?
I move that we adjourn.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay.
Right. All seconds. In
favor? Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Good. Thanks, everybody. You. Yeah. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Ronnie, do you know how to turn this thing on?
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Not part of my job description.
Well, we can go see Jim's in there right now.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. Yes.
I don't know if he's hurt.
Okay.